Hey friends, this is part two of a conversation we had while on the road with Brad Lominick. If you didn't catch part one, you can go back. It's the last episode published. Catch part one and then jump into part two. Thank you, one, for going down the hustle road and from the vantage point of leaders and not sub leaders, but those on the team that need to be honest across the playing field. And man, that's probably the scariest place to be. But if it translates to more trust, clearer lines of communication, and a stronger, healthier team. Like yep. You said, balance may not be acquirable, but health certainly can be.
Yes.
That means the whole organization moves in that direction. Because like you said, the core moves out of toxicity and becomes healthy again, or alive again, or the not darb doll again.
And who doesn't want to work on a team that is the center point of how you navigate and approach each other and yeah. deal with each other and wrestle with each other.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what the other piece of that is that when there's honesty that's flowing both ways,
mm-hmm.
See, everybody talks about honor.
Okay. Well, you're gonna start to knock on a big door right now.
Well,
okay,
honor and honesty have to flow both ways.
Oh, here we go.
For it to work.
Here we go.
I'm all about,
hearing this?
I'm all about
hearing
being,
this?
I'm all about honoring somebody, but are you going to honor me?
Yeah.
You know,
is that too much of an expectation? Because I feel like we get invited into, there are leadership structures that it's like, hey, I'm going to give you a shot to play on this team. Don't fail me now. And I'm like, yikes. Well, I'm going to try not to, but man, I'm going to hide all my failures in the process. You know, the honor is in exchange for opportunity. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. So. And yes. And Craig Rochelle says it well about honor, that it's honor's given, respect is earned.
Mm.
Honor's given, respect is earned.
Yeah.
So everybody should receive honor as part of a culture of honor. Again, it flows up
both
and down
ways.
And
yeah.
across.
Yeah.
Respect
yeah.
is then, that's based
that's
on...
That's something you gain credit as you continue down the line of relationship together.
Right. But honesty is also part of that. And a culture
yeah.
of honesty, you know, most cultures and organizations, churches, nonprofits, businesses, doesn't matter. They operate in threads of honesty, but most of them operate in a larger, or if you want to say a river, there's rivers of honesty,
yeah.
but there's an ocean of dishonesty.
Oh.
So everything, it just flows into a big ocean of dishonesty, which is why most of us, we look around and go, well, I better make sure that I'm watching out for myself.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I don't trust most of the people here.
Jeez.
There's little pockets.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not always true, but a lot of organizations.
Well, you're speaking from your experience.
A lot of organizations, you know, when you start to unpeel that, take the layers of the onion off.
Yeah.
You look around and go, wow.
Oceans of dishonesty.
Oceans of dishonesty.
Amongst rivers of honesty.
Yes, these little pockets.
I'm like, man, dude, you're just
I know
dropping.
That's really depressive.
Yeah, well, I mean, you like blew the roof off our RV on that like statement. The hustle, the hunger, humility, leadership. So let's talk about the emerging generation.
Emerging, come on. Young guys. Young
guys. Young
guys.
They're all
young
there.
Cats.
Yeah. We were just entertaining a conversation outside an hour ago where I asked a kid who was volunteering in the church that he is now on staff at since he was 11.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how do you see the baton pass analogy? Were you handed it or how did it go? He goes, you know what? I don't even think baton because that means it's only one person getting an opportunity from one guy. I'm a kid who's got a skateboard and I'm looking at the skate park.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was like, what? You're telling me you're not waiting. You're just grabbing your board and going. And he's like, I don't need permission. I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
And I thought, dude, I have never thought of it that way. And I've never even heard it explained that way. But that could be the greatest analogy for the frustration in one group that's like, where are they? I want to see them prove themselves. And for another generation, it's like, oh, this is why I'm just doing it, because I'm not waiting for the baton. I never even thought of that.
Why, if I'm 24, do I have to prove myself when I look around and go, I can create and produce and curate and all those adjectives and
mm-hmm.
verbs
mm-hmm.
that all of us who are older felt like we had to wait on?
Mm.
There's no reason to wait anymore other than the reality that experience
Right.
Creates wisdom.
That's good.
But again, we can coach wisdom.
But you can almost accelerate it by early failure too. So as I'm trying to curate, do all those words, I'm going to experience hyper failures, which is going to teach me a few things, maybe not as robust as the guy who's done it for 40 years, but enough to know I'm not going to get my nose knocked twice in the process.
Yeah, but my point is there's no reason for any young leader to sit around today and go, man, I'm just waiting on an opportunity. I just wish somebody would come along and give me a chance. Shut up. You got so many chances because you can go start your own thing.
I bought a .com for $11 and I am starting to write, or I started a podcast. But here's the thing is this weird shackles, Brad, in the church. I mean, we're talking leadership at large, but in the church, it's like you respect your elders or you respect your supervisors and your pastors by not going around. When they find out that you went for it, My personal experience or what I've heard around the table is like I get my hand slapped real hard and then I'm told like when it's time, we'll let you.
That's the problem of the supervisor. That's a culture that says I'm leading you the way I was led compared to I'm leading you the way you want to be led. Mm. And if you're 44 looking at that 26-year-old and going, I'm going to lead you the way I was led because I had to wait my turn.
Yeah.
And I'm going to slap
your hand. Leading from a place of brokenness. And bitterness.
So who's going to break the chain? Who's going to break the cycle of waiting your turn? It has to be my generation because the 25, 26, 28, and 29-year-old in general, stereotypically, are looking at me going, bro, I ain't waiting. I'm going to go start my own thing, and I love you, but I'm not sticking around. Mm. And everybody is looking at this issue saying, where have they all gone? And the answer is they're all going and starting their own thing. They're all going to the skate park.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and they don't feel guilty about it because...
Why should? But we feel like, oh, they're not loyal. Mm-hmm. They're not willing to wait. They're not, you know, because I had to wait.
Well, and then that makes me feel like I have to wait.
Exactly.
But then I got the kid behind me who's like, why are you waiting? You're an idiot, dude. I've got a podcast already. And
here's the way I would lead, though. If I'm me, which I am.
You are.
Then my response to the 25-year-old on this question is, hey, you know what? You're on my team.
Yeah.
Tell me what you're dreaming about. Tell me what would you love to be doing right now in this season of life?
Yeah.
Let's list it out. Let's talk about it. Let's put it on paper.
Yeah.
Now, how many of those 10 things that are on your list can we accomplish in this organization?
In this ecosystem. Yeah.
How many need to be accomplished outside of this ecosystem?
That's such a great gesture.
Can I help you?
Yes.
Can I help you accomplish
those? Articulate them. Yeah. What can we knock out together?
Wow. Yes.
What do you have to be propelled
forward to? So all of a sudden, I'm the coach.
Oh.
Not the boss.
No, but I'm super excited to show up to work.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. That's how the loyalty flips in the sense that, man, I'm willing to work hard for you because you're giving me room to run in the new economy of free agency.
Wow. Yeah. Whoa. And the church needs to get that figured out quick. Because in the caste system, man, people are... I'm sorry, dude. Is it true?
But the business world, the marketplace understands this.
The marketplace does get it. And entrepreneurship is being flipped upside down, right? But like all the other things, Amazon and Netflix and Uber and all of those things have been deconstructed and reconstructed with an individual's ability to champion it on their own. The church desires both kingdom and connectedness, and they wonder if they hand it away if we will forfeit both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, three years from now, these are the new, I mean, there's different data points that are out there, but 2020, 3 years from now, there's going to be at least 40% of the U.S. workforce. This is across all industries, business, marketplace, mm-hmm. nonprofit, church. Mm-hmm. 40% or more of the U.S. workforce will be in some sort of side hustle, free agency, contractor role.
Wow.
4 out of 10 people in the U.S. workforce will be looking at you going, my reality right now of my career, vocation, mm-hmm. work life is that I do have a full-time job potentially. But I also have the side hustle. Mm-hmm. I also have the the new nonprofit that I just started. I have like my contracting.
And I'm helping my friend get his thing off the ground.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's the new reality.
Yeah.
And we're sitting around going, now you hold on.
Well,
you gotta,
I need you to narrow your focus here, buddy, if we're going to make that, you know.
That's such an old, archaic.
It's hard because it's the majority, Brad. I honestly think that there are more churches that are failing out for the next generation or the current generation because they're unwilling to at least try to see what it would look like if there was the ability to entertain those things.
And you know why?
Tell me.
Because it's harder. It's more complicated. It's easier to create a hierarchy that shows it's basically like still thinking about the world we live in, built around the model of going to a factory. Because that's we're still living in the era of factory workers.
We're dealing with that residual. We're still playing on that residual.
Right. So it's this hierarchy that we have to build. Who's your boss? Who do you report to? Well, who do you report to? Well, who do you report to?
And you're thinking that you have an advantage if you can report to the cooler guy, when in reality you should just be thinking about how to reconstruct the whole thing.
Yeah. And there has to be systems in place.
Yep. And checks and balances.
There has to be process systems. I mean, anybody that goes and hangs out at Google or Facebook, you look at the environment they've created, and these are the places most 20-somethings want to go work. Mm-hmm. Why are they so attractive? Besides all the stock options and the free cereal and the laundry on site, those are the cool, and the volleyball and
miniature golf.
Yeah, all those things are really cool. But you know what they're trading on? Equally as much, if not more, is that we've created a place here where you can, at any stage in the game of this organization, make a difference.
I love that.
You can actually have an impact as a 22-year-old coder, equally as much as Mark Zuckerberg sitting in the organization.
Room. Yeah. Your position does not restrict or hinder your ability to impact the significance that you can play in the organization.
Yes. So how do we translate that into the church, which says the 17-year-old who is playing guitar
or at the skate park
or who should be now your social media director of the entire communications department can have equally as much impact and influence as the teaching pastor or the executive pastor?
Yeah, you're writing a crazy paradigm. Who should we be looking at? Not even who. That's too much power. What do we need to be keen to watch out for ourselves as leaders, both seasoned and emerging? What are the big blocks that are going to keep us from doing the best work possible in the season we have?
Good question. A couple things. One, we have to really, really, with this new era of free agency, of the reality that many 20-somethings, which we love and we're cheering them on and we want to push them into places of power and impact and influence. The hard part right now is that the Zuckerberg effect is in place, which is, I feel like if I'm 29 and I haven't changed the world by starting Facebook or Charity Water or Tom's, that I've failed. Mm. And so that says to me, let's remind everybody that there is something to faithfulness. There is something to wherever you've been planted, stir it up there and actually make a difference and put some foundation in place.
Yeah.
And some roots.
That's good.
And it doesn't mean that you have to stay there and you have to be in misery and go, well, Brad said to be faithful and
wait for the baton.
Yeah. But it's that tension. So, you may be in a place though where you just need to stick and you need to stick it out. That's actually kingdom equity you're building.
Thank you for that.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you're 27 going, I feel stuck. Man, I feel like that there was this call in my life that I felt 10 years ago, and now I'm 17 steps still away from that. There's still power in the, are you crushing it in that step right now, the season you're
faithful
in.
Faithful on step 17, right?
That's kingdom equity you're building. That's like rewards. That's the, you took your one and turned it into two.
Yeah.
And at some point you may get 10 and you'll have to turn that into 20. So, but, and that's encouraging. Like wherever you are, that's power.
That's an opportunity to be had wherever you are.
Yes. And it's getting your mind right on how are you building kingdom equity.
Man, that's really good.
So that would be one. The second one is this, that calling, going back to the free agency. Mm-hmm. If you don't understand what your true calling is,
yes,
and understand that there's assignments that end up reflecting your calling, then you'll just be you'll be dysfunctional and schizophrenic because there's so many opportunities.
Yeah.
That we've never had more opportunities.
Yeah, more opportunity now than ever.
And so when there's more opportunities than ever, you have to be dialed in.
You have to first know thyself.
Yes.
You have to be keen on your shape.
And here's the best way to figure out, because every young leader is wrestling with this right now. What is my purpose, my calling? What is it? The best way to figure it out is try stuff.
Is read purpose-driven life. I'm just sorry.
Besides reading the greatest selling book of all time, besides the Bible.
Thank you very much. That's a statistic.
Hashtag greatest book ever.
Statistic.
Besides
the Bible. That is so shameless.
It's like all right there.
That's so shameless. It's not even in here because I gave it away, Rick. I gave it away. Okay, but.
Rick, I read it when I was like 27.
There you go.
Of our Lord 2000, whenever that book came out. It was like 99
it was
or 2000
fire.
When
it was
came out.
Before fire was fire, it was fire.
It brought the thunder. But we have to know that sense of calling and purpose because there's so many opportunities.
Yeah, I do think that we were having this conversation over sushi, Gil and I, that...
Whenever you start a statement like that, it's always going to be
good. It's going to be good. Oh, shoot, I'm like, the pressure's on. That oftentimes we can be convinced that us staying true to the shape by which God created us, if that causes us to go through an organization, right, I started and now I'm going on from it, that we are somehow unfaithful because the word would be sticking to our guns in one context, but we're just trying to remain faithful to who it is we think God made us to be.
Yeah.
But the organization puts this weird pressure on you that if you move off the block, man, what a kingdom loss.
Right.
And that burdens me to death.
It's big.
Because I had to walk that disappointment almost out of the org and say, but I trust Jesus is putting that thing in me that has me going just a little farther than I've ever gone before.
Yep.
Not because of the opportunity that's in front of me, but because of the shape that's inside of me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's well said. And so good. Our role as leaders, again, go back to the coach, and I'm sitting down with that leader going, hey, I want to help you win. I want to help you find that sweet spot.
Yeah.
I want to, and many times that might mean that you have to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But part of my job as a leader is to release you.
But even that pressure release would be such a healthier transition than being like, well, we decided we can't work together, so let's figure out how to is there opportunity, you know, it sours. What are you pointing at? You're pointing at something.
Well, the other point on this to piggyback is that the opposite of humility is not arrogance. The opposite of humility is insecurity. So most of the arrogance that we see in leaders
is actual insecurity.
What? They're looking for still that place that they can call their sweet spot.
Man.
But they're walking around faking it, going, if I'm really honest, I still haven't found the calling and purpose on my life, the true sense of that I'm walking in what I've been designed to do.
Man.
That's why people, most of the time, are arrogant, because they're insecure. But humble leaders, the most humble leaders are the most confident in what they've been called to. It gives them huge ability to walk away and go, you know what, I'm so dialed in that I know it's true.
Yeah, that's good. And so I think immediately the application out of that is as an emerging leader or as a middle manager inside of an organization, my job is to have an overload of grace when I come across a supervisor or a senior executive, whatever, who's just like telling me why I'm doing all the wrong things. I need to go like, there's an insecurity here, and I'm not going to tell him that, but I am going to walk in a bucket load of grace because he's just as human as I am, and we're both trying to navigate this together.
And you know, I mean, following Jesus, which we all believe is the right story to be part of, moves us along that process of becoming more secure and humble because we're finding out our true self.
It's who your security is in, not what your security is
in. The further you are away from Jesus, the further you are away from being a believer, like living a Christian life, actually, I can't discount somebody who doesn't follow Jesus based on their level of arrogance or their level of lack of humility, because they're just operating out of the premise
human nature
that I don't know who I am.
Yeah.
I don't know who I am. I haven't rediscovered
my true north or
exactly. You know, so give them grace. I think that's a great way to say it, Mingo. It's like give them. Don't let them off the hook, but you have to give them grace because they're walking around. And if they, it's the same thing a lot of us feel of, man, if anybody finds out, like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yep, I lose it all immediately.
Yeah. And most people
Are right there. Brad, I love it.
So we got to move them towards that, which is helping them find freedom in confidence.
And watch when you somehow figure out how to tap that and release the pressure from your supervisor, however that happens in a miracle-like opportunity. The whole organization gets back on its rightful pace and track.
You got it.
You know,
you find an organization, a church, a staff of people who are dialed in to their sweet spot and calling. They're changing the world. I guarantee you.
Yeah, that's really good. Brad, one dude, you are a deep well. Look at our audience is just straight. No, this is mine, bro. It's got my name written in it. Brad, here's what I want to know. Can I buy this on Amazon? Can our viewers catch it on Amazon?
You can get it anywhere. Anywhere books are sold.
Okay, that's great. And Amazon. Is there a download version?
There is, yes.
Do you narrate
the old ebook?
Do you narrate it?
Or you mean the audio version?
Yeah. Is there an audio book?
There is an audio version. However,
do you read it?
I don't.
Come on, dude.
No, they
wouldn't let you?
My publisher, they skip me.
Hey.
And I feel like I've got not only a voice.
Hey, publisher.
I've not only got a face for radio.
Yeah, thank you.
I've got a voice for radio.
Hey, publisher, you failed.
I know. It's not my voice.
This Brad's got the voice. I don't know what you. I don't know who in the executive room, publishing house.
They didn't even let me choose. Who
I
want to
hear Brad whispering sweet nothings of encouragement. Okay, listen.
Probably would have chosen Barry White.
Yeah, the next book.
I think I would have gone with like either a female Australian.
Oh, wow, very specific.
Or an old Scottish guy.
An old Englishman.
Yeah, an old Scottish guy.
Yeah, who was like, yeah, very much
I feel
much
like
so.
He's sitting in a smoking jacket.
Yes, thank you. I can't say it, but
watching,
you can.
Yeah, well, he's sitting in a smoking jacket, overlooking the Scottish mountains.
Thank you for
kinda
that.
Kind of got a little Braveheart working. Yeah.
Is he on the horse or is he off the horse or...
He's off the horse.
Okay, yeah. It's a little more stable.
It's next to him.
It's next to him.
Yeah, exactly.
For confidence sake.
That's right.
Okay, Brad, and if I want to follow along with you in a closer proximity, what's a great social that we can do that?
I'm Brad Lomenek on every outlet.
You're a lucky dog.
BradLomenick.
Okay.
On all the outlets. So
do you have like an alter, like a Finstagram that's Darb? Anywhere?
You know what? I should start a
you
Darb.
You should
account.
Start a Darb and be like, don't be like Darb.
And it would be the all the stuff I would love to do.
Oh, that can be your
Darb
outlet.
It's my
where
outlet.
You're like, oh,
Darb
I'm Nattic. So pissed. Yeah, you're
exactly.
Like, you flipped your Instagram and you're like, oh, I'm lighting this guy up right now. Dude, it's like the reverse of encouragement.
I have to do that.
You're burning people down. Whoa, bro, I got this guy Darb tagging me right now. I don't know what to do.
Is Darb available on Twitter?
I don't know.
It's got to be.
I don't know, but
nobody's Darb.
If you get sponsorships off of it, I want a piece of it.
You get a percentage. Darb World.
That's mine.
To our podcast listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Man, this is such a good conversation. Brad, thank you for sharing the decades worth of examination and failures and successes. I mean, if you didn't take the time to really look deep within, we wouldn't have the wisdom that we are sharing right now. And I know that like there are so many eager, hungry kids looking how to get there faster. Mm-hmm. And so you opening your playbook and kind of like exposing the man, I wish I would have done that better moments, I think that's going to save a lot of kids as they become the managers quicker than the ones behind them, your managers and my managers, yep, ever got there. And I'm hoping that they're going to be resourced well, that they'll listen acutely. And we're going to get to celebrate them at each of those milestones. One win, 10 wins, 50 registrations, a company of 100. Whoa, we just hit 10 countries. I want to be on the back end of all of that, just celebrating the crap out of all it. I know you do too.
Yeah, and our job again is to not just pour out our cup, like pour out the lessons, mm-hmm, we learned, but also to cheer from the sidelines.
That's
and,
so good.
You know, our posture is one where we're clapping and we're opening up opportunities and we're getting out of the way. So if you're an older leader, you still have a
critical
role on the team.
Critical
role on the team.
Yeah.
And for all of you, if there's any fourth quarters listening to this and watching this, which, mm-hmm, I'm sure there are, mm-hmm, meaning that you're in the fourth quarter of your life.
Yeah.
Do not discount the value you bring to the table.
Totally.
Because we talk about young leaders all the time, but older leaders, we need you. Don't go play shuffleboard on the Carnival Cruise Fest.
No, roll up your sleeves.
Roll up your sleeves, yeah, get in the game, and start coaching these young cats. That's because good. They need you. Your job is not to play golf and shuffleboard and hang out in Del Boca Vista. Your job is to stay relevant, stay connected,
yeah,
and stay in the game, because this is your greatest season of wisdom.
That's what they say, right? Your 60s. Well, I heard Ray Johnson say it. That guy blew me away when he said, if you think that you're in your greatest stride in your 30s, he's like, I'm convinced, I don't know how old the man is, but he goes, I'm convinced my greatest stride hit when I was 45.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, dude, I'm.
So I look at Rick, I mean, I know we're wrapping up, but I look at Rick Warren and think, this is going to be his greatest season, I think, of impact. Because he's now at a place, he didn't have to impress anybody anymore. He's like in the fourth quarter of let's make sure we cannonball into eternity.
Oh, dude,
just,
I love that.
We're not
that.
Just dipping that toe in the water going, right. I don't know.
Oh,
let's cannonball,
enough.
Man. Yeah. Let's do like a 3.5 gainer off the high dive.
Whoa,
right,
dude,
into eternity.
That sounds high liability. Brad, thank you. And if there's ever a swimming pool, I want to see you do a 3.5 gainer.
I would definitely do a backbuster.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in and for just trying. I think that this is a season of trying. I think people are listening because they want to try. And I want to give everybody enough guts to get there and to launch and go and say, okay, I'll give it a shot. Brad, I love you. Thanks for your time, man.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
Yes. Yeah.